The Cold Read, written by Offlight, read by Opal Song. Fandom, Mo Dao Zhu Shi. Relationship, Jiang Cheng, Nie Huai Song. Rating, teen. Also tagged for alternate universe, college university, and fake slash pretend relationship.
Drag my feet along the floor. Then I see you. You're walking across the campus. Cool professor studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend?
When Wan Yin was 4 years old, Wuxian once broke all 120 of his crayons by sitting down too hard on the box. The sound was so loud that it shocked 4-year-old Wuxian enough to fall out of his seat, bumping his head in the process and scaring him into tears. When their parents came to check on them, Wan Yin wasn't able to explain the situation coherently enough and ended up getting scolded by his father for bullying his new brother. From that moment on, he was convinced that Wuxian was his arch nemesis and rival in life. That isn't to say he doesn't love his brother. Of course he does. He trusts Wuxian more than anyone else in the world. Wan Yin would be willing to forge signatures for him, to go out at 2 a.m. for mozzarella sticks just because he won't stop talking about them and is too drunk to go himself. But after being shown up by Wuxian during spelling bees and geography bees and Chinese school and PSATs and the fitness gram, TM, pacer test, and essay competitions and swim times and really just everything under the sun that wasn't dance, Wan Yin's about fucking done with his brother. He wants Wuxian to be happy, definitely, but he'd also love it if Wuxian could be happy at a reasonable distance away, at least a good 2 states in the continental U.S., and with a completely different circle of friends. Not across from him in their university library, when he's trying to study for his philosophy midterm, babbling on and on and on about his new hot boyfriend. Wan Yin relays this entire conversation to Huai Song later in that same library, 2 floors down and 3 hours later. I don't know why he thinks I care. I don't want to know about how they made out in the basement of a frat house. It's gross and humid, and this one isn't going to last for more than a week anyway. That's cold, Huai Song admonishes. He's bent over a set of papers, glancing down at one sheet before scribbling obediently down on another. Wan Yin watches him and wonders why it is that Huai Song only ever looks so focused about schoolwork when he's copying homework. It's the truth, Wan Yin grunts. He feels a little bad anyway. Wuxian is just really excited, honeymoon phase or whatever. Huai Song frowns at something on Wan Yin's homework before lifting up the page. I can't tell. Is this an A or an E? Wan Yin glances at it. A-E. His name is Skinner, not Skinnar. Our midterm is next week. You really need to get it together. Huai Song waves in his general direction. He'd been sweeter about it back in middle school when he first started copying Wan Yin's homework. Back when he'd tried to look bashful and nervous and actually asked for help in understanding the questions. But he's grown jaded over the years. Now Wan Yin's nagging falls on deaf ears. Wan Yin would find it insulting if he had any energy left to care. Just let it pass. People are always like this in the beginning of relationships, Or Wuxian is, at least. It's true. Wuxian always starts out in his relationships with enough energy to talk about his new mystery partner for 3 months straight. A few weeks later, their name is hardly mentioned. A few more, and he drops casually in passing that they had already broken up a while back. Just because Wanyin knows this doesn't mean that it changes anything. I just wish he was more realistic about it. About what? I don't know. Talking about relationships? Being in relationships? Like the ones that he knows won't last? Hoisong snorts. Wanyin is immediately incensed. What? I think you have to have dating experience before you can pass judgment on other people. Wanyin immediately reaches out and tugs at his homework. Hoisong squeaks and slaps down his hand on the page, looking up at Wanyin with wide and pitiable eyes. Give it back. I only let friends copy my homework. We are friends, Hoisong pleads. Wanyin tugs again, and he swears that he sees Hoisong's eyes tearing up. Damn him and his ability to cry on command. I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. Have mercy. Wanyin lets go, reluctantly, and watches Hoisong brighten and bend over the homework again. It's not like you have any dating experience either, Wanyin grumbles. Hoisong shrugs. He's writing much quicker now, as if ready for Wanyin to change his mind and snatch his homework back at any time. It's true. You see how we're not qualified to have this conversation? I just don't get it. How can relationships change someone so much? I don't know. Go get in one and find out. You think I'd still be single if I had a say in it? Wanyin wants to say, but that sounds too pitiful. No, you, he says instead, which isn't much better. But it does make him pause. Why haven't you dated anyone before? Hoisong's pencil slips, and he has to grab an eraser to erase a rogue mark on his paper. I don't know. I haven't ever really thought about it, he says, glancing up at Wanyin. A small crease between his brows. Why this all of a sudden? Nothing much. I just realized I've never heard you talking about liking anyone. Hoisong shrugs. Not everyone's that desperate for love. Wanyin wants to correct him. It's not even that he's desperate for love. It's that he can't stop thinking about it when it's literally all Wuxian ever talks about these days. It's only because Hoisong isn't around Wuxian as often, what with Wuxian and Wanyin on the Music Conservatory campus and Hoisong in the Arts and Sciences College, that he doesn't realize how taxing it is to have someone constantly remind you that you're single. And of course, there's the competitive streak, too. He's not sure that Wuxian sees it this way, but the feeling of being lost in the conversation as Wuxian indirectly brags about all of his conquests makes Wanyin want to scream. It takes him back to the many other times in their lives that Wuxian had casually one-upped him. I can let you know what it'll feel like soon, though, Hoisong continues, flipping his page over and starting on the back. I'm casted as a love interest in one of the spring's showcase plays this semester. I mean, it's not the same, but it might be a little. Wanyin sighs. It's not the same at all, he says. Plus, that would mean that he's losing to Hoisong, too, of all people. That might be too big of a hit for his ego. Hoisong shrugs. Suit yourself. He continues writing in silence. Wanyin watching him morosely. Until Hoisong finally stops and looks up, wide-eyed. He presses so hard on his pencil that the lead snaps off. Wait, unless... The tone of his voice instantly brings Wanyin back to fourth grade, when Hoisong managed to come up with a simple and brilliant plan to make money. It had involved them folding together little paper pouches and airplanes and cutting up little green pieces of paper to mimic dollar bills. They'd started a trading scheme between the three of them, and the rest of the class quickly wanted in as well. Soon the entire class was folding pouches and trading them to each other for fake money. A few real dollar bills were thrown into the mix too, and they took those as well. By the end of the month, they had enough for three celebratory ice creams from the lunchroom, before the teacher caught on and shut down their scheme. They had to pay the kids back, the ones they took actual money from, and apologize. "Unless what?" Wenyin asks, noting that the glint in his eye is the same as the day he proposed the money scheme. Hoisong leans forward, his cheeks just slightly red. "Unless you want to help me practice for my role?" he asks, his voice so quiet that Wenyin has to lean in to hear him. "What? I mean," he fidgets in his seat a little. "I mean, do you want to practice being in a relationship with me?" Wenyin's first reaction is that it's a ridiculously stupid idea. What does that even mean, practice being in a relationship? Hoisong's clearly been watching too many rom-coms. Wenyin even has proof of this because both of them mooch off of Yen Li's Netflix account and he can see Hoisong's watch history. But the idea does sink in a little after a few moments. It's actually pretty clever. He could rub it in Wuxian's face a little. A bit of revenge dating, for lack of a better phrase. He could subject Wuxian to uncomfortable amounts of PDA. He would know what some of the physical stuff feels like. Never mind that he made it all the way to his junior year of college without kissing anyone. He could tally off some of the relationship benchmarks and use it as experience for when he's in a real relationship. He feels comfortable enough with Hoisong. They've been together for years. Out of all his options for fake dating, this wasn't a bad choice. Not that there's anybody else offering. Plus, he'd be helping a friend. And Wenyin is a generous soul, if nothing else. "Okay," he says. Hoisong exhales, the pink on his cheeks getting just a shade darker. "Are you sure?" "Yeah, sure, why not?" Wenyin is feeling a little embarrassed, too, and both of them glance around conspiratorially to see if anyone caught their conversation. They lean in a little closer and lower their voices even more. "What should we do, then?" "I don't really know. I didn't think this far," Hoisong says, picking at a corner of his notebook paper. "This is completely new to me." "What do you need to do for your role?" "Just basic stuff, I think. Holding hands and kissing?" Hoisong buries his face in his hands, too embarrassed to continue. "If we're gonna do this," Wenyin says, trying and failing to sound severe, "you need to get used to talking about this kind of stuff." Never mind the fact that he's also breaking out into a sweat under his collar. Hoisong takes a deep breath. When he opens his eyes, he looks a little more controlled. Wenyin is thankful for it, because he feels like a nervous wreck inside. "Okay, you're right." The homework is pushed aside. Hoisong pulls out another sheet of paper and draws a few quick lines on it. "How about this?" he says, as he starts labeling small boxes along the side. Wenyin cranes his head to look and sees day 1, day 2, day 3, and so on. "Oh, I see," he says, "like a schedule. This way it's paced so that it seems natural to other people."
"Read Wuxian,"
Hoisong nods. "And so that we can make sure we hit all of our goals, so you get experience and I can still practice for my role." "That's actually smart," Wenyin says. Hoisong beams. "Why, thank you." They decide to draw out the first 2 weeks. It starts slow. Hoisong mentions how they don't have to start dating immediately, but rather can act out that pre-dating flirting phase. Week 1 reserved for spending time together. Nothing too drastic, just talking and laughing and looking like they're having a good time. Hoisong will come onto the music campus most days to have lunch with Wenyin, and they'll spend their free time at Wenyin and Wuxian's apartment. The whole point is that they need to emphasize that they're crushing. "So we have to look at each other," Hoisong says, waving his hands between them. "Like, when we think the other person's not noticing." "You want me to stare?" "Not in a creepy way. Just in an aw, he's so cute kind of way." This is not a look that Wenyin is accustomed to making. Hoisong has to give him a few demonstrations, staring off sweetly at the back of some other person's head a few tables down, before Wen Yin is even slightly convinced he can pull it off. He tries it out. "Okay, wait, stop! Don't look at people like that!" Hoi Song says quickly, as the person that Wen Yin is staring at turns suddenly, catches his eye, and visibly shudders. Wen Yin is mortified. "I just did what you told me to do. I didn't say to do it in a Voldemort kind of way. You know what? Just smile once for me." Wen Yin is starting to reconsider this whole idea, but does it anyway. "Don't look so constipated. Think about holding this over Wuxian's head when he finds out." "Okay, that works. Just do that instead." Week 2 is when they start implying that they're exclusive. That means hand-holding. One public kiss per day, preferably when Wuxian is watching. Always slightly bashful. Always something more innocent, like hand or cheek or forehead peck. "The honeymoon phase," Hoi Song elaborates. His hand was visibly shaking when he wrote the word kiss, and Wen Yin would tease him for it if he wasn't also feeling increasingly embarrassed with every moment he looked down at the paper. They needed to guard it with their lives. He would never be able to live it down if Wuxian found this. "When should we start, then?" "He needs time to get mentally prepared." "I don't know. Tomorrow?" "What time tomorrow?" They pull up their schedules to compare. Wen Yin has ballet 3 and choreography 1, and is free after 3 p.m. But Hoi Song has acting and directing 2 and introduction to fiction and poetry 2 until 4:30. Plus, he's meeting with his improv group at night. "Maybe tomorrow, then?" Wen Yin asks, scrolling through Hoi Song's calendar app, while Hoi Song flips through his planner. "Oh, we have philosophy on Friday." "Perfect, we can start there." Hoi Song beams and pushes Wen Yin's planner back to him. "But we should still just get dinner tomorrow. We can consider tomorrow as a test run." Wen Yin feels nervous just thinking about it. "Where do you feel like going?" They go back and forth with places before giving up and deciding they'll just go wherever they feel like tomorrow. He almost wants to comment that Hoi Song only ever really craves the same 3 foods on repeat, but holds back. He isn't that surprised, then, when he wakes up the next morning to see that Hoi Song had texted him at 2 a.m. "Chicken fingers?" Wen Yin is surprised by how easy the first week goes. He doesn't feel overly awkward about keeping an eye on Hoi Song when they're together. Mostly because Hoi Song is almost always doing something stupid or amusing enough to warrant a smile. If anything, it's almost a liberating feeling, this whole fake dating thing. He's not sure why, but it's nowhere near as uncomfortable as he thought it would be when Hoi Song first proposed it. It's kind of nice, too, having Hoi Song around more. They'd only really seen each other 2 or so days of the week before. The days before homework was due for their philosophy class. But now they're constantly either together or texting each other. He's easy company during lunch, aside from the fact that he constantly picks at Wen Yin's food as if it's his own. Wen Yin only has to look away from his plate for a second to laugh at Wuxian tripping over someone's backpack strap on the ground for all of the pickles in his sandwich to disappear. "Excuse me?" he asks, raising an eyebrow at Hoi Song. Hoi Song, despite his steady chewing, feigns shame and offers up one of his fries. "Not a fair trade." Hoi Song's expression clears into one of indifference. "Not my problem, then," he shrugs. Wen Yin waits until he's about to eat the fry before leaning forward and biting it out of his hand. "Hey! Aw, aren't you too cute?" Wuxian teases, his voice garbled and incoherent as he speaks around the apple that's in his mouth. He drops into the seat across from them and finishes his bite. "Did you finish the philosophy homework, by the way? Can I see it?" Wen Yin tries to act as natural as possible, fighting the urge to see how Hoi Song's reacting to Wuxian's comment. He bites down on his sandwich and accidentally bites his own thumb. Hoi Song doesn't seem to notice or care. He's too busy giving Wuxian the answers that he copied from Wen Yin a few days ago. Wenyin makes a note to never take a class with these two again. If they're just going to plagiarize all his answers, he at least needs some appreciation. He's not sure how much attention Wuxian is paying to them. His first instinct is that he's kind of offended. Beyond Wuxian throwing them glances in philosophy, watching as their heads lean a little closer together than normal, and as Hoisang doodles on the margins of Wenyin's notes, he doesn't do much. "Do you guys want to go get lunch?" Wuxian asks as their professor dismisses them, and students start filing out. He's already packed, has already been packed for the last 10 minutes, and stands up, watching as Wenyin and Hoisang shove their laptops and notebooks back into their bags. "You guys can go ahead. I have to meet with someone about a project," Hoisang says. "Will you have time to eat?" Wenyin says, frowning. Hoisang has another class in an hour after this, and that one goes on for over 2 hours. "Do you want me to bring you something?" "No, it's okay. I'll just grab a sandwich or something from 7-Eleven. "Are you sure? It's really no problem at all. I can come find you." Hoisang looks up and smiles. "Positive. Thank you, though." "Okay," Wenyin says, even though he's pretty sure that he'll be getting a sad text from Hoisang in about an hour, talking about how their meeting ran late and he wasn't able to grab something to eat. He leans forward to give Hoisang a peck on the cheek. Unfortunately, Hoisang decides to turn at that exact moment and their lips meet. Wenyin jerks back violently, nearly bowling over Wuxian, who had been texting someone on his phone. "Hey, careful," Wuxian says, surprised. "What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to have a good sense of balance, being a dancer and all?" "Sorry," Wenyin mumbles, more to Hoisang than to Wuxian. Hoisang's neck is slightly pink, but he laughs it off. "Have fun at lunch," he says. Okay, week 3. We need to step it up. One kiss per person per day. How does that sound to you? Wenyin is running his fingers along the back of Hoisang's neck as Hoisang draws up the next week's schedule on a notebook. They're leaning against each other on Wenyin's couch, which is daring because Wuxian is supposed to be coming back at any moment. Their cover story is that he's helping Hoisang draft lines for a play that he's writing, which, in a very twisted way, is true. He plays with the hair that curls around Hoisang's ear. It's interesting that he hasn't seen Hoisang in his natural hair color for years now. He'd started dyeing it during high school, Wenyin realizes. It's honey brown now, permed just enough for a constant bedridden look. Before this, it had been reddish bronze, and before that, a platinum blonde. It was around the time he started doing some light commercial work. Wenyin wonders if he could still dig up some old photographs, back when Hoisang's hair was as dark as his. Though it had never quite been. Even then, his was always slightly browner, especially in the sun. "Hey," Hoisang says, and that's the only warning Wenyin gets before he feels a light tap from Hoisang's pen on his nose. It makes him blink.
"Dozing off?"
"What? Oh, no, did you say something?"
"I asked if it was fine."
Hoisang continues, "If we bump it up to 2 kisses for next week."
"Two kisses? Per person?"
"Well, I was thinking just one from each of us, but we can do per person, too, if that doesn't feel too much for you," he adds quickly at the end.
"That's fine. I'm already used to it."
"Okay," Hoisang says. He scribbles, 4 kisses per day, into boxes. Wenyin's attention is back to his hair. He curls a strand around his finger and squints at it. Of course he doesn't have split ends. Really? How does he do it? He must have accidentally pulled too hard, because Hoisang raises a hand to swat at him.
"I don't remember what you look like with black hair anymore," Wenyin says in explanation. That makes Hoisang frown. His eyes drift up to the ceiling in thought.
"Huh, true. How long has it been since I started coloring it?"
"Since high school. I think since that cereal commercial."
Hoisang shudders at the memory, which Wenyin thinks is a little strange. He'd been good in it, really convincing.
when Ian had personally gone out to buy two boxes after seeing it.
Let's not talk about my knockoff cereal days,
Hoisong mutters. Do you think I should dye my hair? Hoisong places the notebook onto the coffee table and turns, throwing his legs over Wan Yin's to scoot closer. He reaches up, and Wan Yin lowers his head, letting Hoisong examine his hair. Why the sudden interest?
I don't know. I was just wondering what you thought.
Hoisong rubs a few strands against his thumbs before running his fingers back. It feels surprisingly nice. Wan Yin sighs and leans into the touch. He should ask Hoisong to do this more frequently. It's very calming.
I like your hair as it is. Hoisong pulls his hair back from his brow with a palm, and Wan Yin looks up to see him smiling.
It's really bouncy today.
That's just Wuxian's mousse.
Still, it's nice. Hoisong ruffles his hair quickly, laughing when it falls out of place and into Wan Yin's eyes. I like the length, too. You always used to keep it shorter when we were little.
Wan Yin tries not to think about his buzz-cut phase with Wuxian from middle school. The only thing worse than the buzz-cut phase was the shoulder-length phase that had happened immediately after. He's pretty sure that's why both of them keep their hair at manageable lengths now.
I'll leave it then, Wan Yin says, catching Hoisong's hands before he has a chance to mess up his hair again. They keep getting distracted during the list. By the end of the night, however, they manage to have their week 3 plan ready. 4 kisses and handholding every day for the next 7 days. They'll plan for week 4 next Sunday. The most ironic thing about this whole fake dating thing is how Wan Yin doesn't mind the decreasing sense of personal space between them. Wuxian had always made fun of his extreme need for personal space before, saying that it made no sense considering how close he needed to hold his dance partners throughout the years. Wan Yin doesn't really know why that's the case either. He doesn't mind lifting partners, but dance isn't exactly the same as Wuxian shoving his feet into Wan Yin's face. Maybe it's because Hoisong is never obnoxious with his touches. Hugs are quite comfortable given their height difference, and Wan Yin's grown to appreciate his little size when he settles against Wan Yin's collarbone. He's never felt that Hoisong was too close or clinging too frequently, even though he does, quite literally, cling off him at times. Oftentimes, Wan Yin doesn't even realize they're holding hands until he feels his thumb working against the back of Hoisong's hand. And even then, it feels very easy and natural for Hoisong to play with his hands as he talked, or thought or procrastinated, as he does one day near the end of their third week. Hoisong's lips are pulled into a frown that Wan Yin finds quite funny.
What do you mean Wuxian hasn't said much about us?
I don't know. He just hasn't really brought it up except to ask me about it once. Maybe he doesn't really believe we're dating.
Wan Yin reaches up for his tea latte with his free hand and takes a sip. It's already slightly lukewarm. They should probably be leaving soon, considering Hoisong had already finished his tea a while back.
Huh.
Hoisong's fingers trace down the lines in Wan Yin's other palm. It tickles a fair amount, but Wan Yin fights the urge to pull away. I'm kind of insulted. I mean, even though we technically aren't dating.
Yeah.
Does he not even care enough to tease us? We're literally his best friends. You'd think he'd have an opinion.
Wan Yin shrugs. Maybe he's busy.
Both of them know that's bullshit. They've never seen Wuxian busy enough to not find time to give someone shit.
I guess it's fine if he doesn't get jealous. We still benefit.
True. He would have been really annoying about it, too.
Wan Yin finishes his latte and reconsiders. More annoying than usual. Hoisong grins. He closes and opens Wan Yin's fingers individually before lacing their fingers together.
At least you got to hold someone's hand out of this.
I've held hands with someone before you, Wan Yin says.
Your mom doesn't count.
I've held hands with Wuxian.
Holding hands just to slap the hell out of each other doesn't count.
Ah, those old days of playing hand tennis with Wuxian back in middle school. They were always both too proud and obnoxious to tap out, so games would stretch on for ages. They always ended with a huge crowd gathered around and both of them screaming at each other to give in. Wenyin can still remember the deep shade of red their hands were in at the end of each round. What fond memories. Wenyin spreads out Hoisong's fingers to take a closer look. His nails are kept neat, palms uncalloused and smooth. His fingers are shorter than Wenyin's, but they still fit together surprisingly well.
Your hands are pretty average, he says.
What?
They're always cold.
It's true. Even now, after sitting inside a cafe for an hour, watching the snow outside, Hoisong's fingers are still frigid. Wenyin takes Hoisong's hands and tucks them against his own neck. It's like an ice clamp. He notices Hoisong's thumbs creeping towards his mouth.
Hey, he says in warning.
Hoisong ignores him and yanks hard at his cheeks.
Your skin is so smooth, Wenyin comments one day, after he plants a quick peck on Hoisong's cheek.
He runs a finger along Hoisong's jawline, surprised by how he's never noticed how flawless he looked up close. Hoisong beams at him. I have to keep it like this for filming. Want to see how?
That's how Wenyin finds himself in Hoisong's apartment that night, standing in front of the bathroom mirror with him while Hoisong shoves various bottles into his hands and rambles on about their multiple purposes and uses. It's all very complicated. There are too many rules.
Before Wenyin knows it, he's agreed to sit in on Hoisong's nightly skincare routine, which involves more forms of cleansing and moisturizing than he knew existed.
Here, do this with me. Wenyin looks at the little packet that Hoisong handed him. He's known about face masks, of course. Yinli and Wuxian both talked about them, but he never really thought about putting one on himself. It always seemed like too much effort in the past. But Hoisong looks so excited now that he doesn't have the heart to say no.
Wenyin glances at Hoisong, who's already torn open his pack and looks to be extracting the mask from the inside. He follows suit, but cringes the moment his fingers touch slime.
Hoisong, it's...
He sniffs the air, confused, before bringing the mask to his nose and inhaling deeply. The smell is bizarre.
This smells like alcohol. The packet...
He turns it around to look at it. There's a picture of honey on the front. He smells it again. More suspiciously this time. The picture is lying.
I think it's gone bad.
Stop complaining, Hoisong laughs. Let me smell. No, it's fine. Just take it out.
He's in the middle of unfolding his mask now. It looks like some round face torn off of a marshmallow person, eyelids and all.
Wenyin obeys, albeit reluctantly. It takes him ages to unfold his own skinned marshmallow face.
And then I just...
He turns to look at Hoisong in the middle of his question and snorts out loud when he sees Hoisong turn with what could only be described as a very wrinkly and very off-putting second layer of skin plastered to his face.
What? Hoisong asks. He barely moves his mouth when he speaks from fear of jostling the mask.
Wide eyes rimmed by alien slime. It's unexpectedly one of the funniest and stupidest things Wenyin's seen in quite some time. He tries to calm down, but with Hoisong's lips twitching up into a smile now, it's more difficult.
Do I just put it directly on?
Yeah, Hoisong says, again, his mouth moving in weird, pinched, bird-like movements.
Wenyin snickers until Hoisong shoves on his arm.
Get it together! Wenyin tries. But when he haphazardly sticks his mask onto his own face and sees Hoisong double over laughing, he checks the mirror and actually loses it.
Why did you put it on upside down?
I didn't realize it.
You were so hopeless.
It takes them a few minutes before they calm down enough for Hoisang to help him peel it off his face and realign it, so that he could actually see out of the two eye holes instead of the one mouth opening. "Look at that! One thing I'm actually better at," Hoisang says, pressing his fingertips to the edge of Wen Yin's mask to make sure it all sticks flat to his jawline. He looks endearingly focused. "There are a few things you're better at," Wen Yin says. His face is very cold and stings a little from the slime, but the mask doesn't feel so weird now. He's even getting used to the smell. "Copying homework?" Hoisang pouts and sits down on the bath mat against the bathtub. Wen Yin sits next to him. "Crying on command?"
"It's true," Hoisang says.
"Making weird dating schedule things?" Hoisang laughs and then brightens. "Before I forget, today's fourth kiss." He makes a small kissing noise in the air in Wen Yin's general direction and looks very pleased with himself. Wen Yin's heart hurts. "That doesn't count," he says, nervous enough to not find the situation funny anymore. Hoisang glances at him. Wen Yin can't read his expression, holding his breath until Hoisang says,
"Well, go on then."
Wuxian looks about ready to prostrate himself on the ground. "Please," he says, "if you've ever felt any love for me in this world." Wen Yin isn't fazed, especially not after putting up with 20 years of this bullshit. "Absolutely not."
"I'll clean up everything."
"That's what you said the last time, too." Hoisang watches them curiously from where he's typing on his computer, glancing from one to the other. Wen Yin locks eyes with him and shakes his head. Wuxian grabs at Wen Yin's arms and is shaken off heartlessly.
"This time I'm serious. I'll vacuum. I'll even wipe down the floors. I'll pay for any damages."
"Your friends are the worst drunk people I've ever met in my entire life," Wen Yin says, doing his best to channel their mom's energy.
She was the only one that Wuxian was ever afraid of.
"You will not be throwing another rager in our apartment."
"Another?"
Hoisang finally pipes up. He was always shit at holding silences. "Hold on, another? Was I not invited to the last one?"
"It was the night of your premiere, remember? That one weird museum short you were in for that one dude who only ever wore that orange hoodie?"
Hoisang crosses his arms.
"That premiere ended at 10. There's no way your party ended then."
"It's fine. He didn't even let me go to that one," Wen Yin says, throwing another glare at his stupid brother. Wuxian winces.
"Is that the problem? That I didn't invite you? I'll invite you this time."
"I better fucking hope so. I live here," Wen Yin says.
"Is it because we're not cool enough for him?" Hoisang asks aloud.
"Clearly not. It's because we can't tell the difference between progressive and tropical house."
"That's cold, Wuxian. That's not why." "Do the past 2 decades mean nothing to him?"
"Apparently not."
"Stop it!"
Wuxian yells, his finger alternating between Hoisang's innocent face and Wen Yin's indifferent one.
"You two don't get the right to gang up on me just because you're fucking each other."
Wen Yin blanches as Hoisang chokes on his own spit, both of them effectively taken out with one sentence. In the end, neither of them recover in time to stop Wuxian. And before they know it, they're plastered against the wall of the living room on Saturday night, wondering at how the hell Wuxian managed to pack all of these drunk college students in one place.
"He's always been good at this," Wen Yin grumbles, watching colored lights dance across the ceiling.
They had spent the afternoon pushing furniture out of the way to create space to dance in the middle of the room and running down to the liquor store with their fake IDs for this stupid party. The apartment was practically unrecognizable now. All of the lights were off except for the strobe, and the bass was boosted so loud that Wen Yin could literally feel it shaking his bones. The potted tree that their dad had given them over winter break is now in the bathtub, along with all of their gaming systems and their TV.
Wanyan didn't even want to think about what would happen if a drunk idiot suddenly decided they wanted to take a shower. A stranger comes up and puts a hand on his shoulder.
Dude, is this your place? I think someone just threw up in your sink.
Great, Wanyan grimaces. Wuxian will love that tomorrow. He feels another weight on his shoulder and turns. Huizong is leaning against him, two bottles dangling from his right hand. The casted lights make him look absolutely ethereal. Open up, he says, distributing the bottles between his hands and raising one to Wenyin's lips. What is it? He asks.
Tanqueray.
He tilts his head back, letting Huizong waterfall gin into his mouth until he taps his wrist for him to stop. Huizong follows suit. He only lasts a second before stopping to cough and grimace.
I seriously do not understand how you can drink this. It's poison! Only evil people like gin.
Thank you, Wanyan says. He notes that both of the bottles are near full and laughs. It's definitely a mild form of revenge from Huizong, taking whole unopened bottles from the drinks table because Wuxian said that he'd pay for all the alcohol. Huizong grins. They try to make their way to Wanyan's room, but the apartment is so packed that they have to shove people out of the way to clear a path. Huizong takes the lead, pulling Wanyan through tiny gaps between bodies. They see Wuxian, who's laughing with a few of his friends, and even Wanyan is forced to admit that his brother cleans up well. Wuxian winks at him as he walks by. They have to practically shove a kissing couple off of Wanyan's door before they make it into his room. Thankfully, all of Wuxian's friends seem to have enough manners not to barge into the bedrooms. Once the door closes, the music quiets enough for Wanyan to realize that his ears are ringing. I thought I would suffocate out there, Wanyan mutters, locking the door so that no one would make their way in. Huizong laughs and jumps into Wenyin's bed, scooting back until he's back against the wall and taking a swig from the other bottle of peached kirok. The street lamp posted right outside Wenyin's bedroom window casts white and gray over Huizong's face, catching on his sweat and highlighting the strands of hair stuck to his brow, the bob of his Adam's apple as he leans his head back and sighs. Wanyan swallows and scoots up next to him, not sure if it's the buzz that's just getting to him. We lasted pretty long, actually. 2 hours with Wuxian's EDM friends? Not too bad, Huizong says, turning to grin at him again. Some guy literally just came to tell me that someone threw up in the sink.
Oh, Wuxian's gonna love that in the morning.
Exactly. Serves him right. Huizong raises the bottle for him again, and this time some of it dribbles down his chin. The gin has lost its burn and settles, warm in his stomach. Huizong places the bottle on the nightstand and laps up the stream of gin from his neck to his mouth, hovering over Wanyan's lips for a breath before nuzzling their noses together. Don't tease me.
I wouldn't, Huizong says, pulling back enough for Wanyan to watch him run his tongue along his bottom lip before grinning.
Is it the alcohol that's making them so bold? Maybe. The little voice at the back of Wanyan's head, the one reminding him that they're not actually dating, so he should probably keep himself in check, isn't quite loud enough. There's another one that's telling him that they should probably wait until they're completely sober to do this, but he ignores that one too. Wanyan takes and sets aside the other bottle before pulling Huizong onto his lap. He can tell that Huizong's flushed red, even in the half-light.
You've already used up all your kisses for today, Huizong warns. Do you want a hug instead?
Wanyan nuzzles into his neck and inhales deep.
Nope.
Huizong's hands find their way into his hair.
Then I can't help you, he says.
Wanyan ignores him and licks at his pulse once before kissing the same spot. Huizong shudders.
Those only apply to kissing you on the mouth, Wanyan says. I'm just returning the favor, really.
He leans in to suck hard at Huizong's neck.
Hoisang sighs and rolls his head back, hands gripping harder into Wanyan's hair. Not fair. He switches targets, kisses his way up to the soft skin just behind Hoisang's ear. When he bites down this time, Hoisang actually whines. The sound nearly stops Wanyan's heart. He sucks harder, relishing the way that Hoisang arches into him and lets go of his hair to cling to his shoulders. Wanyan. He leans back to see Hoisang's gaze on his lips, mouth parted, and eyes glazed over. Hoisang leans forward, but Wanyan nudges him to the side with his nose to press a series of kisses into the corner of his mouth. Hoisang groans in frustration and tries again, but Wanyan grabs his hair, pulling and exposing his neck for another light kiss at the underside of his chin. Yep, definitely the alcohol. I've already used up my kisses, remember? Hoisang glances at him, his pupils blown wide. I don't think you want to play this game with me, he says. What game? Aren't these just the terms we agreed to? Are you sure? No idea what you're talking about. Hoisang smiles. Suit yourself, he says, leaning forward until their noses are pressed together. Just remember that I don't tend to play fair. It's the only warning that Wanyan has before Hoisang grinds down into his lap, and Wanyan's head literally thuds against the wall. Barely a second passes before Hoisang grinds against him again, slower this time, his tongue licking at the inside of his bottom lip as he gasps, their mouths millimeters away. Wanyan, he whispers, the sound sending goosebumps down his neck. Okay, Wanyan reasons. Maybe he is in over his head. Hoisang continues grinding against him, so slow that he could cry, and it takes all of Wanyan's remaining willpower not to give in and respond. His fingers are gripping down on Hoisang's hips so hard that he's pretty sure he's causing him pain, but Hoisang doesn't seem to even mind. His head had fallen onto Wanyan's shoulder, and now, with every movement, Hoisang is moaning softly against his ear. The sensation of his breath against Wanyan's neck is pure torture. Wanyan is pretty sure that his brain is short-circuiting. Suddenly, both of them jump at the sound of loud banging on the door. Hello? Is somebody in there? They hear someone yell, drunkenly from just outside. They exchange glances. Hoisang raises a finger to his lips, as if anyone could possibly hear them with the booming music outside, and presses his hips down even harder. Wanyan groans. He gives in now, grinding upwards to meet Hoisang halfway. Hoisang grabs onto his shoulders with a new fervor. The knocking again, except even louder this time. Oh my god! Hoisang sighs. He gets up, and Wanyan entertains the thought of murdering whoever's outside the door. Worse is when Hoisang opens it and they find out that Wuxian's friend was just confused about which room was the bathroom. He closes the door and turns around to lock eyes with Wanyan. It's all he needs to give in. He surges up from the bed to pin Hoisang against the door with his body, kissing him hard and messy and with all the frustration that had been building when he was being teased. Hoisang finally gives in as well, practically clawing at Wanyan's shoulders to bring him in closer, moaning into his mouth and around his tongue, rising to his toes. Before he realizes what he's doing, Wanyan grabs his thighs and hoists him up, carrying him over to the desk. Hoisang blindly reaches behind him to swipe the papers and books off onto the floor with one hand, leaning forward again after Wanyan sets him down to loop his arms back around his neck. It's hard to breathe. He'd much rather spend any moment tasting Hoisang than taking in oxygen, and the ferocity that Hoisang kisses him back with is enough to make his mind go blissfully blank. But Hoisang pulls back all of a sudden. Wanyan realizes that he's unconsciously slid his hand up under Hoisang's shirt, and he quickly pulls it out. Hoisang's expression is muddled. He's still breathing heavily, but there's a crease between his brow and some distress in his eyes. It takes a few beats for Wanyan to catch his breath, for him to realize where things were going. I'm really sorry, he says. Hoisang massages his forehead. No, it's okay. When he tilts his head back, Wenyin can see the beginnings of very obvious hickeys on his neck. I liked it. I don't know. I just don't think we should be doing this when we're tipsy.
Yeah, I agree.
You do?
Yeah.
Wenyin says. He looks around, wishing he had some water in this room. He can hear someone retching in the living room and prays that they aren't near the carpet.
No, it's not. We don't have to be high school about it.
We don't, Hoisang agrees. He takes Wenyin's hand. Wenyin is shocked by how his hand is somehow still freezing, even when he's tipsy. And hops off the desk, a little embarrassed.
Are you okay, though?
He asks. I'll be fine after a few minutes. They wait out the rest of the party in Wenyin's room. Despite the direction earlier in the night and the stickiness in his underwear, it doesn't feel very awkward. They cozy up under his covers and pull up horror movies on Netflix, and everything quickly feels normal again. Hoisang falls asleep on Wenyin's shoulder within the first 30 minutes, leaving Wenyin to attempt and fail to stay still despite the many sudden jump scares on the screen. They both end up falling asleep with the movie still going, the incredibly loud music in the living room giving a heartbeat to the walls. Wenyin wakes up early one morning, a number of days later. He spends some time watching Hoisang sleep, noticing the slow rise and fall of his breath, his occasional little snores. He's realized recently that the smell of Hoisang's exhales are quite nice, which is something he didn't even think was possible. He leans forward to press their noses together. Wenyin wonders how Hoisang feels about this whole fake dating thing. He's too nervous to bring it up now. He wouldn't even know where to start. And it seems like Hoisang doesn't feel the urge to discuss it either. They've long stopped keeping track of the weeks. How long has it been now? Almost 2 months? Maybe even more? The air is already starting to warm with spring. Maybe they should have kept track more carefully. Somewhere along the line, it's lost its lightheartedness. Maybe they're both hoping that whatever they have will just take care of itself. He's recently started wondering what Hoisang thinks about their arrangement. Wenyin doesn't exactly want to call it off, but something about it feels strange these days. He's not an idiot. He's known Hoisang all his life, so it's a given that he also knows about the way that Hoisang watches rooms, his smile and the tilt of his head and even the slightest lean of his body to convey interest or hesitation. It's a strange charisma that he has over other people, subtle enough in his actions that most others don't even realize they're being coerced. Wenyin is pretty sure only he and Wu Xian are on the lookout for these moments from Hoisang due to how long they've known him, and even then they don't do much about it. Hoisang has already proven, time and time again, that he only really does it because he wants something and is just too lazy and spoiled to ask for it directly. So he knows Hoisang isn't malicious, but Wenyin still hesitates around him. He always has, even when they were younger. He's better with people like Wu Xian, who wears his heart on his sleeve and, just in case, would loudly and unsolicitedly announce his thoughts and feelings to anyone within a certain radius. The hesitation was never really a feeling that Wenyin had to pay much attention to before, but it's harder to get out of his head now. He reaches out and brushes Hoisang's hair aside. Hoisang stirs.
I don't want to go to class today,
he mumbles. He tilts his head up for a kiss, and Wenyin obliges.
It's Sunday. You don't have to.
Good.
He snuggles closer, and Wenyin folds him into his arms.
Wake me up when the chicken fingers get here.
Okay.
Wenyin strokes his hair, and while wondering if he should order chicken fingers for when Hoisang wakes up, falls asleep again.
There's one thing that I forgot to add to the list that we still need to practice, Hoisang says one night when they're huddled under a blanket on the couch, watching a random stupid action movie playing on FX. Wenyin is picking stems off of the bowl of grapes in his hands, eating some and feeding the majority to Hoisang. He's barely paying attention to the movie. It's so shit. What's that? Hoisang shifts a little under the blanket, and Wenyin turns to watch him. Hoisang is flushed a light shade of pink, his expression surprising. I love you, he says, so quiet that Wenyin almost doesn't catch it. I love you too, Wenyin responds, almost reflexively. They stare at each other in silence for a few beats. Wenyin isn't sure if it's because the lights are off, the only light coming from the random bursts of gunfire and explosions on the TV. But something in Hoisang's face looks off. Well, I suppose we've done it, Hoisang finally says, sounding offhandish as he breaks his gaze and settles back against Wenyin's side. Wenyin offers him another grape, but Hoisang shakes his head. It didn't feel as big of a deal as I thought it would. I guess they are just words after all. Yeah, Hoisang whispers. Wenyin looks closer at the poster. A numbness spreads from his chest into his limbs as he checks it twice, thrice. The numbness flares into fury. He fucking knew it. He rips the poster off the wall. Hoisang and Wuxian are sitting at the usual table in the library, both of them splitting a set of earbuds and grinning at something on Wuxian's laptop. Their expressions change at the same time. Wuxian snickers as Hoisang bursts into laughter. The sight makes Wenyin even angrier. When he gets up close, Hoisang's head snaps up. The smile that was on his face quickly disappears. He stands up. He sees the flyer in Wenyin's hand and freezes, his face instantly going blank. That just makes Wenyin angrier. He throws down the flyer onto the table. We're fucking done! What's this? Wuxian asks as he reaches out to read the flyer. His voice sounds so distant to Wenyin, even though he's right there. Cast lineups for the play for the semester? Why are you so mad? He doesn't pay attention to Wuxian. His eyes are fixed on Hoisang, waiting for him to react. He wishes Hoisang would react, would drop the guarded expression because Wenyin knows he has things to say, explanations that Wenyin needs to hear. He deserves at least this much after being lied to and dragged along like a dumbass for these 2 months. But Hoisang doesn't say anything, and Wenyin doesn't know how to make him talk. Fuck you, honestly, he spits. You cowardly piece of shit! Whoa, hold on. Wuxian stands up and quickly maneuvers himself between them, eyes wide and confused. Wenyin, what happened? The sight of him defending Hoisang just incenses him even more. Get out of the way! This has nothing to do with you! Okay. I will if you just get the fuck out of the way! Hoisang finally reacts. He closes his eyes and takes a forced breath. If Wenyin had been more calm, maybe he would have noticed the way Hoisang's fingertips were shaking against the tabletop. We're in public, he says. I don't give a shit! I'll talk, but not here. I don't give a shit, Wenyin repeats, seeing red, just hearing Hoisang's voices making the anger in his heart shift into something heavier. He recognizes the feeling and absolutely doesn't want to cry in the middle of this stupid library. Maybe Hoisang is right, but even that thought is enough to make him more upset. Hoisang glances off to the side. Wenyin follows his gaze. It's an unused study room. Fine, then. Wenyin stomps in and hears Hoisang asking Wuxian to look after his stuff. He crosses his arms and waits for Hoisang to step into the room and close the door behind him. Talk, he demands. Did you have fun laughing at me behind my back all these weeks? Now that they're alone, Hoisang looks considerably more upset. The shaking in his hands is obvious enough that even Wenyin notices it now.
Why would I laugh?
What? You wanted me to believe that you just lied about wanting to date me for some stupid fake play for shits and giggles?
I never said that.
Oh, so there is a reason? What the hell is it?
Hoisang doesn't talk.
A terrible thought crosses Wen Yin's mind. He grits his teeth. Did Wu Xian put you up to this? Hoisang laughs once, an ugly sound, and folds in on himself. He covers his face with his hands.
Oh my god.
Wen Yin can't believe it. He drops into a chair. See? Everything makes sense now, he says bitterly. Hoisang shudders and uncovers his face. His breathing is extremely ragged, and Wen Yin is shocked when he sees tears.
No, you absolute idiot! Wu Xian doesn't know anything!
Bullshit.
This may come as a surprise to you, but the world doesn't revolve around him!
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're a stupid, blind, self-centered asshole!
He's never seen Hoisang so out of control before. Wen Yin isn't even sure if it's anger that he feels anymore. His head tells him to calm down because something about Hoisang looks so off, but his instincts tell him to react. You don't have any right to call me that, he hisses. Why are you crying? Hoisang starts laughing again. He slumps against the wall.
This wasn't gonna work. I should have known.
Maybe if you stopped laughing at me for a second. I'm not laughing at you. Then stop fucking laughing.
Why? It's so funny.
Hoisang calms down with another slow breath and looks to the side. He sniffs and rubs away his tears.
Fine. I don't know what you want to hear from me anymore. Yes, I lied to you. I'm not cast in any plays this season. I don't have to play a love interest. I had nothing to practice for. It was wrong of me to lie, and I'm sorry. But Wu Xian isn't the one that told me to do it.
Then I don't get it.
No, you don't, do you?
Hoisang sighs. He slides down the wall to sit on the floor, hugging his knees to his chest.
What a waste of time, he mutters to himself.
Why did you do it? The anger is seeping away, leaving his head in a mess and his chest feeling burnt and twisted into a lump. Wen Yin can tell that he sounds like he's begging, but he doesn't know what else to do.
I don't know if you want to know.
That's bullshit.
It's really not.
Stop playing games.
Fine.
Hoisang turns his face to the side, pressing his cheek into his knees.
I did it because I wanted a chance.
Wen Yin is lost again. What?
Talking to you is like talking to a wall sometimes.
Just as Wen Yin is about to get indignant, Hoisang continues.
I wanted a chance to be with you.
Wen Yin doesn't want to admit to Hoisang that he doesn't get it, especially after being compared to a wall, but he doesn't get it. The silence stretches.
Can you just react? Please?
I don't know what you want me to say, Wen Yin says. It's the truth. He's not entirely sure what Hoisang is getting at, especially now that it's clear Wu Xian didn't have a hand in this torture. And wanted enigmatic response. What is he supposed to do with, I wanted a chance with you? Does that mean Hoisang just wanted to get dating experience too? Did he want to spend more time together? But there were so many other ways he could have conveyed that. Ways that didn't involve the two of them going as far as pretending to be in a relationship for months. Hoisang watches him carefully before sighing.
Fine then, I'm leaving, he says, as he starts getting up.
Don't worry, I'll get rid of the schedules and everything so no one ever finds out. You can make up whatever story you want about how we broke up. I'll go with it. His words bring a dash of fear into Wen Yin's heart. The way Hoisang says it makes him step forward. Wait, you're still upset.
What do you think?
What does he think? He's confused about how this conversation about him confronting Hoisang about lies, which he's fairly sure is a justifiable thing, is somehow ending with him feeling like he's done something very wrong. I just don't get what's going on.
there's something you're not telling me. He remembers Hoisang's other point. And why are you talking like we're never going to see each other again? We don't have to stop. It's not like anything's changed. We're still friends. Hoisang freezes. To Wenyin's surprise, another tear streaks down his cheek. Honestly, Hoisang says, his voice cracking. Fuck you. He turns and, before Wenyin can stop him, is out of the room. Hoisang is impossible to contact for the next few days. Wenyin tries texting him a few times and gets nothing in response. He doesn't go to either of their philosophy lectures that week and is nowhere to be seen on the music campus. Wenyin wants to go find him on the main campus, but he doesn't want to be creepy about it. At the same time, he can't just let it be. Their last conversation went so poorly that he's pretty sure it's somehow his fault. Not to brag or anything, but Wenyin has historically been responsible for a fair number of ruined conversations. Also, it's just too quiet without Hoisang around. It feels like there's a hole being burned into his heart. It makes him lose sleep. He ends up telling Wuxian everything one night in their apartment, when Wuxian brings him home a pint of Halo Top because he was looking like Kate Winslet from Titanic after DiCaprio drowns. Wuxian listens earnestly and empathetically in the beginning as Wenyin starts spilling the very long-winded story. But as the story goes on, Wuxian starts to lean his forehead into his fingertips and stare at him incredulously. By the time Wenyin finishes recounting everything, Wuxian looks ready to start tearing out his hair. What the hell were you thinking? Is what Wuxian opens with. Look, if you had to live with you, listening to you talk about all the random people you're sleeping with all the time. No, Wuxian cuts in. I mean, what the hell were you doing with Hoisang? Did you even say sorry? Wenyin stares at him blankly, his spoon frozen over his ice cream. Wuxian groans. Oh my god! You take advantage of his feelings and use him for revenge against me, which, by the way, isn't a real thing and didn't even work. I just thought you two were fucking adorable. And you don't even have the decency to apologize? And you finish off with, what was it? But don't stop fucking me because I'm having fun? I mean, yeah, he shouldn't have lied to you either. That's dumb, but sheesh! That's not what I said, Wenyin says, feeling his mouth go dry. And what do you mean by take advantage of his feelings? What feelings? Wuxian presses his palms to his forehead. Holy shit! Are you serious? Oh god, poor Hoisang! He didn't say that he was doing it for revenge. He said you weren't involved. Why is revenge the only feeling you can think of? That's not even a real feeling! Can you seriously not think of any other reason why he would have done this, beyond your saltiness towards me? There is one other reason he could think of. It's the one that Wuxian is hinting towards. But there's no way. It's so impossible that Wenyin has to look to Wuxian for confirmation. Wuxian just groans again. He raises his hands. Look, this is a conversation that you have to have with him. Though I don't blame him for not wanting to talk to you anymore, given the sheer dumbassery that you've subjected him to. Look, I know I can be pretty bad with this stuff, but even I'd never be this oblivious. The conversation with Wuxian is motivation for Wenyin to try even harder reconnecting with Hoisang. He sends out a barrage of texts with renewed urgency. He absolutely needs to confirm this hunch, if there's anything worth confirming. Sunday morning, Wenyin checks his phone and practically vaults out of his bed, tripping in his haste to throw on jeans. Honeygrow at noon. When Wenyin steps into the restaurant, Hoisang is sitting in one of the back corners, chatting with two other men that are sitting across from him. Wenyin notes his own frustration. Wuxian had put up a feelings wheel on his wall and now doesn't talk to him unless he uses feeling words. And steps up to order.
He knows that Hoisang has already noticed him entering from the quick flicker of his eyes, and he wishes he was close enough to read his face. He makes his way over to them after he gets his food, feeling a little awkward when he gets closer and realizes how ridiculously attractive the other two men are. The irritation turns to jealousy, but goes away when Hoisang gestures to the open seat next to him. This is Wen Yin. He's in the conservatory studying dance, Hoisang says easily as Wen Yin sits down. Wen Yin wishes he would look at him, but Hoisang is too busy smiling at the other two. This is Xichen and Wang Ji. Xichen knows my brother, and Wang Ji is an international student who's also at the conservatory. Do you two know each other? Huh, he does look a little familiar. Wen Yin's pretty sure he's in the music program. He doesn't run into those students very frequently. In the same way that he's spending almost all of his time in the studio, all of the music students are constantly in the practice rooms. With the glaring exception of Wu Xian, of course. No, but it's nice to meet you both.
It's nice meeting you, Xichen says, beaming. I wish we could stay longer, but we're actually just on our way out. I need to take Wang Ji grocery shopping today.
Wang Ji, looking as if this conversation barely concerns him, is scratching his fork around the edge of his bowl, clearly waiting for Xichen to finish with his pleasantries so they can leave.
We'll be heading out first, then. Thanks for the help, Hoisang. I'll tell your brother you're studying hard.
Please do, Hoisang says nervously, waving at them as they throw out their trash and leave the restaurant. Random people turn to stare at the brothers as they leave. When they're gone, Wen Yin notices Hoisang lean just slightly away from him.
You should move over there, he says, his voice losing the sweetness from when he was talking to Xichen.
Wen Yin's stubbornness kicks in. I'm already comfortable here, he says, digging his fork into his noodles. He glances over out of the corner of his eye. Hoisang is in a loose turtleneck that accentuates his neck. The hickeys from before are gone. Of course they would be. That was weeks ago. He looks quieter than the last time they parted. The shadows under his eyes a little darker. Wen Yin spears one of his pickled radishes with his fork and drops it in Hoisang's bowl. Hoisang sighs.
What?
He asks. What? Don't you like these? Hoisang looks down at it.
Tell me why you're here, he says, sounding exhausted.
Wen Yin had been thinking about what to say on the bus ride up. He tries grasping at his mental bullet points now. I really wanted to say sorry.
For what?
Hoisang asks. For not apologizing about the fact that I pretended to date you just to make Wu Xian jealous. Which didn't work, by the way. He told me he didn't actually feel jealous. Or anything. Hoisang spins his noodles around his fork.
That's all?
Wen Yin squirms a little. He hasn't eaten anything all day, but the conversation is making him so nervous that his appetite is gone. Just the soy garlic gleam on his own noodles makes him feel nauseous. No, I mean, I get why you're mad. I'm sorry about lashing out and saying all of those things. I don't think I've been very considerate.
I'm not here to listen to you self-flagellate, Hoisang says.
Wen Yin pretends like he knows what that means. I don't want to assume, so tell me if I'm wrong. But when you said that you wanted a chance to be with me, did you mean, like, in a romantic sense? Wen Yin is pretty sure that his face is fire hydrant red. Hoisang glances at him and snorts.
I did?
He says, before taking a bite. Wen Yin waits for him to finish chewing, but realizes that he doesn't have anything more to say. Did? Past tense? Wen Yin asks. What do you want me to do? Stay hung up over you indefinitely? A rush to his head. He swears the room gets brighter. His hands are gripping his bowl a little too hard. So you still do? A little? Hoisang doesn't seem to notice. He's pushing around a pea. I'm trying to move on. Don't worry. I've done a good amount of thinking since our fight. It wasn't fair to expect you to figure that out, considering. He gestures in Wen Yin's general area. Wen Yin would be angrier if he wasn't completely right. I just think I thought that your feelings might change if we kept pretending to date. But it's okay that they didn't. Why didn't you just tell me that you liked me? I did. No, I mean instead of lying at the beginning. Or even before, if there was a before. Hoisang looks down at his fork, very pointedly avoiding Wen Yin's gaze now. It wouldn't have amounted to anything. You don't know that. No, I know for a fact. That's impossible. It's not. Prove it. Are you sure? Wen Yin nods. Hoisang's lips twitch upwards in a mirthless smile. I've loved you for years, and you've never so much as looked at me. The pain in his voice makes Wen Yin break. He's starting to feel dizzy. He remembers his bedroom, and the way Hoisang had looked at him after they kissed. The way that his arms shook from where they looped around his neck. Their kiss that last night together on the couch. Hoisang was right. They really did just waste away months. I just didn't know. I didn't think you were serious, Wen Yin says, his voice a little distorted. But I told you. I didn't know what you meant, though. Oh, God, is he crying? Hoisang finally turns to look at him. Wen Yin? Yep, he's definitely crying. He reaches up to wipe off his tears, but they just come out faster. He curses to himself, turning in towards the back of the booth to hide his face from the rest of the restaurant. You should have told me you were serious. I did. You just didn't understand. Then you should have tried harder. We kissed so many times. How was I supposed to know you meant it? You're a really good actor. I thought you were faking it, he says, mortified by how he's pretty much sobbing in this stir-fry establishment. Okay, I should have said something. I realize now. I'm sorry. Hoisang's voice is shaking, his hands fluttering around Wen Yin's face to rub at his ears. His fingers are so damn cold. Wen Yin, no, because I didn't realize that you were doing it for real. If I'd known... He grabs Hoisang's hands reflexively and tucks them under his chin. Hoisang looks weak. Just hold on, I'm thinking. For what feels like the first time in his goddamn life, Hoisang actually listens to him. His eyes are glassy in a way that Wen Yin is positive isn't feigned. His fingers are trembling. Wen Yin attempts to get his bearings on his feelings, to wrap his mind around what was said and what it means. It feels like his brain is actually ground to a full stop. Of course, the silence only lasts a few beats. Does this mean you... Fuck it. He leans forward, pressing a kiss to Hoisang's lips. Hoisang sighs and kisses him back immediately, his hands sliding around his shoulders to pull him closer. It's so familiar and warm that Wen Yin never wants to stop. When Hoisang pulls back to breathe, he chases him to press repeated, insistent kisses against the corners of his mouth and his cheeks, whatever is closest, as if making up for lost time. Hold on. Hey, we're in public. Hoisang stutters, glancing around. You always say that. Because you never seem to notice. Wen Yin grabs his hand and pulls him up. Then let's go. Where to? Hoisang asks, his eyes wide. Are you busy after this? Not today. Then can I bring you home? Can you? Hoisang breathes. Wen Yin has never seen him so in shock before, but he doesn't mind it. May I? Wen Yin pulls him the first few steps, watching the smile slowly spread across Hoisang's face as they navigate out of their corner. Another few beats and they're running out of the restaurant together, leaving their food still on the table, the door closing behind Hoisang's laughter. Are you ready? What do you think he'll do? I don't know if he'll even notice. I'm sure he's probably doing work right now, Wen Yin says. Be real, he's never busy. That's also true. Hoisang taps the button, shoves his phone under his pillow, and rolls over until he's back in Wen Yin's arms. They both wait. It takes about 13 seconds. Holy shit! They hear Wu Xian scream from his room, his voice muffled but still piercingly loud. There is what sounds like the thudding of furniture falling over before they hear frantic banging, surely from Wu Xian pounding his fists hard against the single wall dividing them. Congrats! I'm so happy for both of you! Hoi Song glances up and smiles. Faster than expected. He must have been dicking around on subtle Asian traits again. Hoi Song, you realize that if you get married, we'll be brothers too, right? Hoi Song's face goes blank. That's a horrifying thought. Wan Yin feels his face burn up. Shut up! We just started dating! You've already been dating for like 3 months now. I don't know what you're talking about. He's not wrong, technically. I'm so sorry, Wan Yin says for the umpteenth time. Hoi Song just laughs and tilts his head up for a kiss. Wan Yin kisses him twice in quick succession and stares at him after they part. It's pretty much all he's capable of doing now. I love you. Hoi Song puts on a serious face. You know, someone I know once told me that they're just words. They don't mean anything. Wan Yin groans and buries his face in Hoi Song's neck. Not this again. Just say it back. Again, just words. Meaningless otherwise. Wan Yin blows a loud raspberry just above his pulse, the same spot weeks ago where he had once left a hickey. Hoi Song laughs and flails, trying to knock him back. Wan Yin pins his arms down and nuzzles his cheek. Are you fucking now? I'll leave you guys alone then. Have fun! Wan Yin shoots up and is about to raise hell when Hoi Song pulls him back down and kisses him deeply, effectively distracting him. He glances up, smirking. What, you want him to keep bothering us? Oh. Say it back then, Wan Yin says. Hoi Song shakes his head and tries leaning up for another kiss, but Wan Yin leans out of the way. Hoi Song falls back onto the pillows, sighing. I'm a terrible influence on you. I'm waiting. Or what? Wan Yin pushes himself off the bed and backs up against the door. Hoi Song sits up, watching him closely as he lays one hand on the doorknob and the other on the light switch. Hoi Song pouts, his hair disheveled and face adorably annoyed. And Wan Yin about gives up on his teasing right then and there. Unfortunately for Hoi Song, he's only gotten more stubborn over the months. You're getting meaner, Hoi Song comments. It's your call, Wan Yin says. Want to have a fun conversation with Hu Xian about joining the family? No. About his favorite positions? No! Then say it. Hoi Song watches him for a second more, his nose scrunched up, before he opens his arms and sticks his tongue out. I love you too. Wan Yin grins. He turns out the light. The end. I'm sleeping on the balcony after class. In the afternoon, you're out on the stolen grass. And I'm sleeping on the balcony. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Okay, wait, stop! Don't look at other people like that. Hoisang says quickly, as the person that Wen Yin is staring at turns suddenly.
Oh, Jung Jung, you're so ridiculous and terrible at this. Oh, so terrible.
Why is revenge the only feeling you can think of? It's...
Jung Jung, you are such an idiot. I love you so much. You're such an idiot. If Wei Wuxian has to tell you that you are an idiot for romantic feelings, like, you have fallen far, my dude. Jung Jung. Oh. Oh. I resonate with this way too much.